town of Discovery Bay regular CSP board meeting is now called to order. Would you all please rise and follow the president's theme and the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect, all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. I did not see any cards, but if there's anyone that wishes to speak, come on. Remember, you're 3 minute limit if you could, speak to the board.
Yep.
And a bunch of other stuff.
And a bunch of other stuff. Board, members of the audience tonight. My name is Chuck Palmer, I'm a resident of 5490 Beaver Lane. I'm here to discuss Cornell Park and the current conditions we're having right now. The conditions have gradually deteriorated over the last couple of weeks with the activity of the kids. But more importantly right now is the infestation of mosquitoes. We hired, still demanding our tax dollars. You folks have a staff that goes out there, I see them every Friday morning, out there mowing lawns and stuff like that. There's a big significant wet area over on the southwest side of the park that is actually standing water. I need to know from you folks, do I need to call Vector Control about the standing water issues with this harvesting our mosquito infestation or not? Last night, literally, my wife came home and has quarter-sized bites from mosquitoes that attacked her, as well as my dog. The entire group that was over walking at Cornell Park last night actually went running out of there. Someone ran into the restroom to get some water to wipe it off and had human feces all over inside the restrooms and were in deplorable conditions. So it's a community health hazard, and I need to know from you folks your direction. Do I need to make a personal call to Vector Control and make them things? Or do you as community members, which are empowered to protect us and make the right decisions for everything? So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to assume staff that will take a look at that.
Apparently, we fielded a call on this that I just found out about today. And actually, I suggested that we contact Vector Control already. But it's being referred to the landscape manager, who is out and won't be back until Monday, but it's been referred to the manager.
Okay. I'll invite you to go for a walk right now if you'd like. That's not the right answer, right? That's what I'm saying.
Appreciate you all. Any other public comment? Okay, I'll close public comment, move to the consent calendar. Any items to be pulled?
Move approval, consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Area agency reports. First is Dennis Burgess, and they will meet us on the next meeting. They've got a conflicting obligation. So we'll go to the sheriff's office. Tony?
Last month, we had 570 calls for service with the 56 police reports you got there from the Discovery Bay area. I had traffic stops. We had 38 for last month, with a total of 9 citations written for the Discovery Bay area. Looking at the crime stats, the property crimes are up. Looking at it, your residential burglaries, we had, if you look at those, one was, it's a house under construction, so they made it through an open window, took the tools that were being used in the house for the residential burglaries. So we only had one that was a garage that was found open the next morning. The person that was living in the house had keys left in the vehicle. Right. Most of us do that. We leave our keys in the car and we park our car in the garage. So they were found the garage door open, knocked on the door. My car's gone and a compressor was gone. The car was later, while the officer was there taking a report, it was stocked in the column. The vehicle was about to hit and run. So the car parts of it later that day. So that was your residential purpose. Other than that, the property crime is up. It's hot. People are out and about. And that's who I see that's going out because they're easy targets, people with property and stuff. We do have a couple of identity thefts that's already come across out here. So I was warned about that. Just be prepared with that, especially with the mail thefts. But I haven't seen any mail thefts come through, so that's a good thing. If there is a good thing about this. Other than that, other little shop theft, shopping stuff that we've had here and there. I took the resident deputies for a week because we had the grandkids last month. So that was really good, a lot of good feedback. The parents loved it, the kids loved it. So we had around like 30, just over 30 kids through here. I greatly appreciate you giving me the facility for the week. It was fun having little kids here. The first day is always a little crazy, but once we get the kids here and we get in our routine, it's really fun. So acknowledgement for Mountain Mike's, they sponsored our program for Peace Fire Friday with the officers and us. So kudos for them for doing that for us. And the fire department coming out from there today with us too. And just everyone involved, it was just really a fun time. So last year it was kind of fun, canine gear, everything else. The kids really enjoyed it. The parents emailed me and they really loved it. So the kids look forward to coming and just want to have a good time with us. So the other good thing, August 19th, we're moving to Brentwood. That's where we're going to be. That's our official day. That's where we're transferring all our lockers, units, officially be working out of the station house from Brentwood. So that's going to be our moving day. For anything that comes up, that should be the day we're going to be moving over there.
So the annex space is going to go?
Not here. This one will always be here. As long as they let us use that space, we'll be there. This will be our Delta station. It's going to be moved up over there to Brentwood. So we'll be good there. I don't know. I'll let Lieutenant Foley forward anything to Mike if there's going to be any kind of, you know what I mean, ribbon cutting or anything like that. Let you guys know about that. I don't know what the works are for that. LPR cameras, also, that's whatever the limbo is on that. You know how that goes. So you guys are well aware of that. So any questions I can take from you guys?
Are you going to close down the old station then when you move over to Brentwood?
That's a county building, so they're going to do whatever they're going to do. I really have no reason, and that's over in Oakley, so I don't know what they're going to do with that, to be honest with you.
I just want to give kudos to Tony as well as to Officer Spiegel, is it?
Oh, yeah, the CSO for you guys.
Yeah,
and CSO.
And Sarah, and I don't know Sarah's last name, but
yeah.
For being as responsive as you guys were to some vehicles that were abandoned, obviously eyesores around town, and quickly took care of them, responded very quickly, and I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
That's what we're here for. We'll do the best we can. I wish you could act faster on it, but as we explained.
It was gone that afternoon. You know, we found a tow company, so that was pretty cool.
I wish we could do a lot faster, but it's just sometimes it's a, you know, I like
it. The process. It's a process.
It's a process.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, sir. CHP, Officer Thomas.
Hello, Board. Officer Thomas, the High School, the staff I have for last month. Out here arrest-wise, we had two for DUI of alcohol. I'm sorry, two for DUI under the influence of drugs and five for DUI for under the influence of alcohol. One warrant arrest, one arrest for driving on suspended license, and one arrest for a hit-and-run collision. Citation-wise, specifically in Discovery Bay here, there was seven for speed, one for registration, two for right-of-way, two for unsafe passing, which would have been over here at the Highway 4, Scary Bay Boulevard. One equipment violation, and then one other. Bixler Road, three for speed, two for registration, and one seatbelt. The Highway 4 out over here, looks like we had six for speed, one for registration, and one sign violation. That's what we had out here. On the 20th of August this week, how I did last time, I think it was back in June, the multi-jurisdiction. Of course, we're going to be doing that on the 20th, so in the afternoon, I'm going to have the guys out here, and we'll be doing some enforcement stuff, so be careful that day. other than that, you guys have any questions for me? I've been gone for little bit, so I'm getting a little.
The only question I have is, what do you think about the new delineators at the entrance?
The delineators right there, I like the white ones. The yellow ones, I'm not a big fan of right there. When you start having some, maybe people with boats or a delivery truck comes in here, it might be an issue. And right there, the white ones I think are a good idea. I get it.
Yellow ones will probably just take care of themselves.
Just gotta keep putting the white ones up every now and then. So.
Thank you.
Welcome back, thanks.
Yeah, welcome back.
Mr. President, before we move on, I just want to be clear on the mosquito thing, the vector. Staff's gonna call in tomorrow, right?
I think, we're gonna meet with landscaping, figure out what we can do. If there's a need to call vector control, I think if they have been called in this afternoon, I'm not sure what staff did as I left to start going to the committee meetings. But I think they were told to call this afternoon, but it would be tomorrow, and then for cleanup, it would be forwarded over to Brian Miller.
All right, so we're not waiting for Brian to get back till next week to make something happen, correct?
No, we're gonna notify vector control. I think they already have been.
Right. But as far as the water and stuff out there, staff, landscape staff will go out there this week versus next week.
I don't know what the landscape crew is doing. I mean, certainly if the board wants them to stop whatever they're doing out there, which I don't know because we don't have the manager, I can meet with Monica and see. I'll meet with Monica tomorrow and figure out what we're going to do to address it.
Thank you.
Okay, I see no presentation, so I'm going to move. Is that correct? And no replies. Perfect. We'll move on to G1 business and action. Staff.
G1. We'll bring up.
Evening, board. This will be very quick. Here to report the completion of the Newport Water Treatment Plant. PLC and SCADA upgrade project. It's complete. The installation was done earlier this year. We did all of the testing of the facility in April, and over the last couple months, the contractor's been finalizing their as-builts and program codes. We've received all the information from them, so their contract is now complete. The work was completed on schedule. It was installed before the summer season, which was our requirement for the high demands. And there was no change orders on the project, so it was completed within budget. Our recommendation tonight is to authorize the general manager to release the final payment to the contractor and file a notice of completion of the county. So after this project, all of the water system PLC systems have been upgraded. So that was what we embarked on to bring it up to the standard, the new standard of PLCs and SCADAs that the whole system uses. This would be the last one of those for a long time.
Yeah. Outstanding. Yes. Questions? Okay. Thank you very much. And I'll open it up for a public comment. And seeing no public comment, I'll close that and bring it back to the board for discussion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. G2, discussion regarding the... staff.
Prior to that,
still reading that whole thing.
Mr. President, if I could, I'm going to recuse myself from discussion as a board member on this, as I am a resident and a co-owner in some of the common property that's going to be discussed, so I will recuse myself at this point.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, we'll turn this over to legal.
Thank you. So the decision before the board tonight is really a decision for two different things. That we've been asked and tasked by the board to acquire the ownership of the sewer facilities that are located in the subdivisions that number 6274, which is more commonly known as the Harbor Bay Condominiums. The layout of the laying out the issues here is that there's two methods that staff has presented here. There's the obtaining the offer through clear, or obtaining the sewer facilities through a clear legal offer, or presuming that an offer was made, is method number two. So let me give a little bit of history to bring the board, everybody on the board up to speed. So in September, it was discovered that, September of 2018, it was discovered that there was uncertainty as to whether the ownership in subdivision 6274 was actually owned by the town. On doing a little bit of research, there was documentation that was found for the other two. There were three total in this subdivision. The other two of the subdivisions, there is clear documentation that the county, who at the time was the sanitation district for that, for this area, accepted those two other sewer facilities for two of the subdivisions in the total, or two of the tracts in the subdivision. The third, there's no documentation indicating whether there is an offer or whether there is any acceptance. So board directed us to acquire ownership. We reached out to their board. Their board sent a letter saying we would like to dedicate this to the town. Upon performance our due diligence, we questioned the authority of that board and requested that the board provide us a determination that they actually have the authority to convey the property. Why did we do that? We did that because in order for the town to accept property, we have to accept property from those with the authority to grant the property. So here, what we were asking for was the authority of the presumed owner at this time. There's no clear documentation as to who owns the property. I'm sorry, I'm being asked to set the phone up. So here we are. We have the clear method, which is to ask them to provide the clear legal authority. We have the other method, which relies heavily on a presumption. There's a few problems with the presumption, is that we can demonstrate two of the three were accepted, we just can't demonstrate the third is accepted. In order for us to demonstrate that the town has the authority, or to advise that the town has the authority to accept that, we would have to be able to demonstrate that there has been a valid offer made. At this time, legal does not have any documentation that suggests such, which is why legal has come to the determination that method one is at this time the method that would be clear legal documentation of an offer for dedication of the sewer facilities to the town. So then the question before the board here is what staff is asking is for some direction to legal as to which method to pursue. If the board is going to pursue a method where we demonstrate clear legal authority, or if the board is going to pursue a method that is based on presumption.
Any clarifying questions?
What are the risks to the town of Discovery Bay under either of those options?
I'll start with method one. Method one is the clear legal path. The risk in the clear legal path is the additional obligation of the operation and maintenance of that sewer line. That's additional cost that the town would have now a clear legal obligation to operate and maintain that line. The risk in method two. Method two has various risks, and we could speculate as to many of them, which would be that A, the town never had the authority to accept something which was never offered. Or in the event that the town does pursue that path, it could be characterized as a taking of property without payment of just compensation.
Okay, I'm going to open to public discussion if there is any. And seeing no public comments, I'll close public comments and bring it back to the board. Any other questions? I see two methods, and there is one other method. There's many others, I'm sure, but the one method is to take it back to the board and have a vote of the residents. That is an option that would make it legal. But I didn't see a nod, so I'm going to assume that for right now. However, being on a HOA board currently, I understand the difficulties and the time it could take if you ever came to conclusion with the requirement of a certain number of votes. So option one does seem to be an option that puts no burden or no liability with the town itself.
We've been maintaining 7273, right? 6272 and 6273. I don't know if we've been paying all. We have been maintaining all at this point. They've been inspected, and I see no problem with printing this method one.
If I may, I can add a little bit to the staff report, which is being that there are these two methods that are being presented to the board. As you did say, these aren't the only two methods. There are other methods that could be explored, and in between this meeting and the previous meeting, there was some discussion of additional methods that can be explored. So rather than hemming the board in, the board doesn't necessarily need to make any decision with pursuing a path at this time, because the risk really is the same risk that it's been since 1989 if we're making no decision. If there is a neater resolution for this that we could pursue, we can continue to seek direction from the board to do that. Otherwise, these are the two methods that we have before you.
Thank you.
I think that this needs to be put to rest. I think there was an oversight of the county at some particular point. I think that legal identified a way to indemnify the town. We've been maintaining it, so I would move that we approve staff recommendation.
I will second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And all opposed? Motion carries.
You can resume your seat now.
Next, discussion of possible action regarding the front entrance, the electrical lighting, and I'll turn it over to staff.
As the board is aware, we have issues with our current lighting system with broken brackets. Sometimes the lights display, sometimes they short out. We've had problems, so this matter was brought to the Park and Recreation Committee. And a budget was established along with freshening up the front entrance to also look at some available lighting options. We did this, we brought it before the committee, and what was selected, we got some bids, and what was selected was a company, Pacific Display, to put RGB lighting, red, green, blue, Spectre lighting, in an amount not to exceed $15,110. That includes the installation. I understand the new product now has a 2-year warranty on the actual lights themselves, but we expect the lights to last somewhere around 20 years plus. You can program them with a phone, different lights for different holidays, etc. And just to give you an idea of what they look like, I'll have Carol pop something up on the display. Basically, you can see the different colored lights on this example, and that's similar to what we have would have out at the front entrance, and you can do a variety of color combinations. So we're looking for approval for us to award that contract for the installation of those lights.
One question that not we discussed tonight, because we had set up a budget to sort of refurbish all of the entranceway, and this is within that budget?
The original budget is $100,000, and so we've spent $42,000 freshening it up. This is another 15 with the 42.
Plenty of room.
Okay, let me open it up for public discussion, public comment. See no public comment, I'll close that and move back to the floor. One question, I would have is the floodlights that we currently have. I know these are decorative lights. The floodlights shining onto the Discovery Bay, the wording Discovery Bay. I think there's one or two of those lights out. Will this cover that?
I believe those. I've asked about that, and I've been told the lights have been replaced. Okay. I haven't verified that, but that's what I've been told.
The delineators to look up and see the lights. Okay, thank you.
I move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I might make a note to maybe put that on staff's list, being the elect, those regular decorative, not decorative, but floodlights, make sure that the electric connections are in good shape.
Good, thank you. Item G4, discussion possible action for the draft of the proposed NPDES permit.
Okay, we'll bring Gregory up, our engineer.
Hi, I'm Gregory Harris, Herbert Engineering. We're the district engineer for the town, 20 years now. So that's a new milestone for us in the town. So as you know, we operate the wastewater treatment plants under a permit called the NPDES. It's the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System federal permit. It's administered by the state level. It's a federal permit administered by the State Water Quality Control Board. And that permit is renewed every 5 years. So we have Stantec under contract to prepare that renewal, and that was submitted in January of this year, 2019. And they just got back to us with their comments on our submittal. Okay, so as part of that permit, so here's the permit. This is a copy of the permit. I think the board members have one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it makes exciting reading. It's a lot of technical jargon, right? So it's a lot of technical jargon. And so we had the pleasure of going through and commenting on it, you know, and we're looking out for things that might incur costs for the town that we didn't anticipate, or changes in the permit that have big results, you know, for the town and such not. And then we prepare a comment letter back to them. So this comment letter is as a courtesy sent to us first. It's draft sent to us first for comment back to the regional board. Then it goes public. And once it goes public, anyone in the community can comment on the permit. And sometimes people do. It's not uncommon. People do. And a lot of people with an axe to grind, like, hey, our permit says this, but there doesn't say this. Make them do this. There's a lot of that. Okay. There's also communities, Delta Fishers and other community groups that say they're never restrictive enough and they want some of the criteria added. Generically, if it goes public, once the permit's public, it's very difficult to get them to back off and change the permit, you know, stuff like that. So just our opportunity to report. So we have prepared a draft response to that permit. It's 3 pages. You have a copy of that in your staff report. There's a lot of technical, this isn't quite right, you should rephrase it this way, this table's not the wrong number, some of that's messed up. There's two big issues that we debrief about in here. So most of the comments are just, I'll say, technical comments, they're not really major. But there's two things that they've done in this permit that we are trying to argue with them about. The first is, they added a whole requirement for what is called a pretreatment program on the town of Discovery Bay. So most larger cities have a requirement under state law that they have to have a pretreatment program where they go out and look for industrial users, heavy commercial users, and they make sure they're not just dumping stuff down the sewer. You know, and then that could be like a dentist putting mercury down the sewer, for instance. I mean, there's things that people can sneak in the sewer because it's a convenient way to get in, right? So they want to stop that, and so they want the communities to have a program where they go identify all the potential users in the system and then track them, permit them, and track them, and do all that. There's actually requirements in the state law if you have a pre-treatment program, what the minimum you have to do with that program. And those requirements about, you know, 2 inches there. So it would add a layer of management to the town that's quite extensive. And it wasn't in any of your previous permits. So we're arguing back that technically we slide under the minimum size for a community, and we're saying, please take it out. You know, if they don't take it out, we got a whole new program, we got to deal with it in town. Okay. So that's the first thing that was new and we hadn't anticipated. The other thing that we're arguing is they have a fairly low ammonia limit. And why does that matter? The design of the denitrification facilities that are required under this permit, that are taking place with the master plan behind the scenes, you know, we're worried about limits that are so low that you're right on the edge of meeting them. You know, the technology you have at Discovery Bay is different than in other communities. You know, it was an older technology, it was less expensive to install, it's what a developer built for you. you know, there are other plants that are more sophisticated and cost more to build originally that can do better treatment. But we're concerned about the level of treatment with your plant, even when we retrofit it for nitrification, denitrification. So we're arguing back. We're asking for a relief a little bit on the one limit to give the town a little breathing room on that limit so that there's less likelihood of violation when you're done. So those are the two big issues that we see in the permit. I think we have, what do we have, 15 comments and whatnot. You can see comment 25 is where we went off on the ammonia limit, gave them a half page right up on the ammonia limit. And then you can see, you can read the comment about our discussion on the pre-treatment program. So the comments were due today. We called and got permission to come to the board, see comment from the public or whoever, and we've got to move to Friday. So we have to turn this in Friday. There's no comments today. I'll send a letter out tomorrow. So that's open for discussion.
Any clarifying questions?
I have a question on the pre-treatment program. You know, larger agencies have source control departments that
right.
and monitor their systems. Since we really don't have an industrial or commercial system, is it, I don't want to negotiate with the state board here, but it sounds to me like you're saying, well, you should have one even though you don't have any dischargers.
Right. That's what they're saying.
Okay. Can the response be, well, if we ever get a discharger, we'll call you?
Maybe. I don't know. Because under the regulations, if you have a program, it's supposed to comply with the regulations, right? And the regulation is, we'll get back to you later. The regulation is, go through a survey, measure all the people, do all the stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe it can be simpler. We don't have some reasons. But you know, things like you say commercial, the shopping center is commercial technically, right? You know, if you put a dentist in, you know, put a dry cleaner in, you know, there are things that can have hazardous substances go down. So,
right. You know, somebody could come into town.
Correct.
We could, you know, but we don't have a metal plating operation.
Right.
And
yeah.
We don't have a manufacturing.
And then it was usually large, you know, like food processing. Yeah. You know, food processing is a big one because they have all kinds of stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Down the sewer or something. But there are technically some ticky-tack things, you know, that you end up having to deal with. And it's stuff you don't have that on staff on a program, you know, it's kind of...
Well, I think a part of the other problem, when you talk about, in some of your talk here, you talk about the expense to the constituents, and if we don't have, we have nobody to get fees from to develop this program because it doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, we don't have an industrial park.
Correct.
You know all that.
I know all that. That's why I said don't make us do it.
Any other clarifying questions? Okay. Thank you, Gregory.
All right.
And I'll open it now to public comment. And seeing no public comment, I'll close it and bring it back to the board.
So the action would be to authorize us to submit comments, unless you guys have comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's important. Yeah, the only comment I have is I highly encourage you to continue the comments that you make. The ammonia thing and the extra regulations, I think, are outrageous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You've been with us for 10 years. Keep doing the hard work.
All right. I appreciate that.
I would move recommendation to move forward with your comments.
Excellent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Okay, I'll set in for tomorrow.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
G5, board member, staff.
Okay, we'll bring Mac up for G5.
Thank you.
All right, good evening. Annually between 2011 and 2016, the Delta Sun-Times, in partnership with the National Wildlife Federation and the Town of Discovery Bay CSD, hosted the Great American Campout at Cornell Park. The campout during those years was part of a nationally recognized event coordinated through the National Wildlife Federation. 2016 was the last year this event was conducted in Discovery Bay. On July 16, 2019, Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports, Inc. had submitted a town special event permit application to host a two-day pickleball tournament on October 12th through 13th. After reviewing the submitted town special event permit application, staff approved the use of the Cornell Park pickleball courts adjacent parking lot, surrounding lawn area, and restrooms. On July 21st, the Delta Sun-Time, in partnership with Odyssey of the Mind, submitted a town special event permit application to host a community sci-fi campout at Cornell Park on October 12th and 13th. This event is currently not in partnership with the Town of Discovery Bay, nor with other entities that was part of the prior years of 2011 through 2016. Per Town Policy 012, park rules and regulations use the town facilities as first come, first served. While staff initially suggested the community sci-fi campout organization select another weekend, staff believed that back-to-back weekends with a large community event in Cornell Park would most likely draw more concerns from area residents than if these two large events were allowed to be held on the same weekend. Additionally, per Town Policy 13, park and facility usage rental policy, Section 3 under prohibited activities, overnight events or camping at any Discovery Bay Park facility must be authorized in advance by the Board of Directors. Therefore, in an effort to minimize negative impacts on residents living in the surrounding neighborhoods and to facilitate two large community events simultaneously in Cornell Park, staff would recommend approval of the community sci-fi campout on October 12th and 13th, provided all conditions listed in the staff report are met. Additionally, the Delta Sun-Times Odyssey of the Mind event is asking for a waiver of park rental fee in the amount of $230. I'm available for questions.
Any clarifying questions?
Matt, were any other locations discussed for the Odyssey of the Mind?
Yes, we did mention Slifer Park. I happened to cruise by there the other day. Mm-hmm. It's actually based on what this group is looking at doing, probably an ideal facility. However, sharing that with the group coordinators, they felt there were some issues with the picnic tables for their pancake breakfast in the morning. Staff is more than happy to sit down with the group and come up with some ideas to help resolve those issues, but we did mention Slifer Park.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
I'm gonna go ahead and open it for public discussion, and I know we'll get someone on this one.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your commitment to Discovery Bay. Here's a couple of you. As you know, we've held this event before, and we've had up to 2,000 people in Discovery Bay's Cornell Park. And without complaint, although the first year, we did have a 911 call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that said there was people yelling in the park. There was children laughing and yelling. So that would not be entirely untrue, but we've had this event year after year. For 5 years in a row. It went really, really well. We left the park as we found it. I'm really proud of what we did during that time. In front of you is the potential event program and poster. The map on the second page of the program that I met with the pickleball tournament folks about what would be agreeable to them and what was needed by them as far as parking, the area of the park that they needed. And so we came up with this map as far as what I need to block up for parking for them, what kind of space they needed. They said they did not need the baseball area, but what they did need is a parking situation because they have 60 to 100 participants. And so we said, okay, we'll block off the parking around the area. I've notified all the residents that are on that area and the entire yellow loop that you see on that map. And I've had complaints. It's been 2 weeks since I issued that notice. On the last page there is our event planning, about all the things that we've taken care of here as far as who's going to be responsible for permits, sponsors, overnight supervision for setup and cleanup. We have the Lions, we have the Scout Troop 514, our Odyssey of the Mind, we've got the entire real estate crew, we've got the Delta Sun-Times crew, we have an army of 72 right now people that are going to help us make this event a huge success, as it was always before. Now when we talk about before, it was in affiliation with the Great American Backyard Campout, which is the National Wildlife Federation. Now, the National Wildlife Federation hosts an event and says, hey, everybody across the country, hold these events. Just like last year, or actually this year even, Brentwood held one But that doesn't mean that the National Wildlife Federation's involved. It just means they're saying, hey, you know, hold one. That doesn't mean they help organize one. We've always done that on our own. The same people who were involved before are the same people who are involved now. We're going to have an amazing event, safe, with all of our bases covered. We're here to make sure that all of your needs, all of the community's needs are met. We've already flyered every single resident around the park, and mostly what we've heard is we'd love to come hang out with you. And the last time that we had other events, most of the people around the park came and hung out with us and did scavenger hunts and movies and things like that. It's a family night. It's not crazy party time. It's a fun, wonderful event. And I'm really hoping that you'll support us. And right now they're asking for a limit of 300, but why would we limit what we're doing to the parks to just 300 people? We had 2,000 people before without complaint. Why would we limit what we're doing to the parks? And I appreciate that our town can't do what the city of Brentwood can do. They have all that staff and that's so wonderful, but we have people here who are willing to volunteer and say, let's have an amazing community where nobody makes any money. We're just going to have a great event because it's the right thing to do. And I feel like I would love it if you would support it. Anyway, if you have any questions, I'm here to nail them.
Okay, thank you.
Give it to me.
Discussion by the board? Go ahead. Is there any other comments? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and close public discussion. Is that appropriate? And then we can start discussion.
And Bob Lundy is here just in case from football, okay. In case we have a question about that. Yeah. And we have an email from them that says they're happy with their
point. Okay. Thank you.
I just have a question on staff as far as how they came to the recommendation of the limit of people that could participate.
Sure, the application that was submitted was for a maximum of 500 people. Based on the size of the park, if you assume that they're going to take the whole park, that would be 500, would be appropriate. But since we do have pickleball in there and we do want some buffer in between, you figure 2/3 would go to this group. Knocking it down to 300 should be an appropriate number to have in that particular park.
Mac, isn't there staff? Isn't there an issue with sanitation and overloading those restrooms?
Yes, there is.
2,000 people, we have a problem.
Well, yeah, 2,000 is kind of a surprise to me based on stuff that I pulled out. But anyway, yeah, there are two restrooms that are located there. They're fairly old facilities, not many heads, so to speak. So one of the requirements was for the group to bring in additional outhouses to put down at that particular end, since staff is making a recommendation. They could have the south end of the park. The north end of the park would be for the pickleball folks, which I'm sure those facilities, that's probably about the right number to handle.
So absolutely, we don't expect 2,000 people. I mean, that was that's right.
We'll call you back if we need to.
One other, I would like to ask, with the offer of Sniper Park, and I live by Sniper Park, it's a wonderful park. They've just made some upgrades with the covered tables. What is the issue with
them? I went over there and I was thinking, oh, maybe is there something I don't know? And I went over there and they just don't. So a big part of what we do is the free pancake breakfast in the morning and these different awards and, you know, the different contests and things that we have, which is a big seating area. And also, we don't know, because it's October 12th, 13th, if there's a rain situation. And so, you know, Slifer was wonderful, and I love what is happening over there. Applause for improving that park. But also, there's, now, I know that they don't have bathrooms over there, but we're gonna bring bathrooms to what's happening in Cornell Park, too. You know, we know that Cornell Park's bathrooms are not what we need, and nor should we rely on. And so, there's just not the seating situation where we can sit everybody under one big area and say, hey, this is what's happening right now. We're having this wonderful dinner. We're having, you know, everyone's gathering together, or in the morning it's a breakfast. So much of what we're doing relies on this community environment under this pavilion, and that awesome pavilion at Cornell Park is wonderful.
Thank you, Amanda. And would it house 500 plus?
Well,
at Slifer.
Not so, at Slifer. There's two facilities. At Slifer, there are two of those pavilions, which is twice as many as you have at Cornell Park. So Cornell Park, 500, I seriously doubt you could get that number anywhere near underneath that facility. So but if anything, she has twice as many at Slifer.
Slifer has the capacity, capability.
Probably not for 500. Again, that's a large, large number of people. Town just doesn't have anything.
So what would be the number in Slifer?
So at Slifer, if I had to take a guess, not that I looked at it based on that, but you know, something around 300 is probably fairly decent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Brian lives over there, and I want to defer. I drove by there and looked at it, not for this purpose, and it was probably going over to your house one day or something, but it seems to me that the pavilions at Slifer are smaller than the ones at Cornell. Is that true? I mean, it seems like the one at Cornell has several tables under it, whereas the one, there are two covered areas, but I don't think combined they're as big as the pavilion at Cornell. I couldn't say.
I don't know exact dimensions, but if I could square part of that, is the issue the sanitation issue and the number of people and the number of bathrooms, or is it beyond that as far as either facility, whether Slifer or Ravenswood or Cornell?
So for Cornell Park, basically the issue is we've already reserved a portion of it for another group that has an activity. So that limits the camp out to basically the south end of the park. So that's why the reduced numbers. So assuming that group meets all of the criteria, they can use Cornell Park. Again, my surprise was the number of 2,000, because I'm thinking, wow, in my records, nowhere was there 2,000. I'm not even sure you get 2,000 in that park safely and legitimately. So again, based on 500, thinking 300, that would work. But then looking at Slifer Park going, well, if she wanted to do 500 and she wanted to bring in the bathrooms and everything worked, that's probably a great spot. The parking's much better because she's got the neighborhood park, plus I'm sure the school, which is right there, would allow her to use those spaces too. Probably doubles her off-street parking. Plus she doesn't have to worry about being 100 feet away from homes. There are no homes probably within 100 feet, so she could basically fill that park with Slifer wall to wall. She's got a nice basketball court there as well. If you're doing a stargazing kind of thing, I would assume there's a lot less light there at night, but I don't live next to that park. You'd have to tell me. So I think just by accident driving by, I thought, wow, that could be the answer to the problem that we have right now. And it could be the answer going forward if she wishes and the group wishes to continue to do it. That might be a better park. And in a neighborhood where everybody butts up to it, there is no parking, there are old bathrooms and so on. So that's staff's recommendation.
Any other questions, comments?
Is it okay if I respond to that, Shane?
Please.
So, yeah, absolutely. I drove by Slifer Park thinking, let it work. But it's just so separated. And if we're going to have to supply bathrooms at one park, we're going to have to supply them at another. One has so much more shade and trees, and it's a beautiful park and easy to use. Park that was never a problem before. I certainly don't expect 2,000 people. At our peak, we had 2,000 people. This one now is in October, not in June. It's during the school break. I mean, I would be surprised if we had half that. But, you know, we try and accommodate that. And then the picnic pavilion keeps everyone together. Now, if we have two different separate spaces, that makes it really hard to hold these breakfasts and dinners and awards and eating contests and all these fun little things that we're doing. We just have such a fun place. And if all the neighbors are cool with it, then I don't understand what the conflict is. You know, we're willing to meet whatever your needs are to make it a wonderful event. And, you know, we did it 5 times and it was beautiful. And I'd love to do it again if you're cool.
Thank you, Amanda.
If I could. If the board decides to increase the number of participants over 300, we would want the other conditions to be present and probably increase the number of restrooms that would need to be brought in.
Yeah, I guess I haven't heard anybody. I've heard numbers thrown around, but the recommendation here is 300. So, Amanda, can you live with 300? Does your program go through?
It's such an enormous expense to put an event like this. You know, just as it would be for the town to put on an event like this. I mean, this is something the city of Brentwood does and Brentwood Chamber does, but
we're not Brentwood.
Right, we're not.
We'll get over that.
Well, exactly. we're not them, and so we're relying on private businesses to, you know, fundraise little parts of this. You know, I'm going to take a piece of it. The Zarba's going to take a piece of it. You know, Bill's going to take. You know, we're all going to do something where nobody makes any money just to make it happen. And 300 people, just why do we want to limit anyone who's using the park? Pickleball is so excited about this.
No, you answered this question.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we've got to make sure.
I know you're passionate.
They're excited about us having a large group so that they can raise more money for their thing. They're going to have a raffle. And the more people we have, the more participation they have, and then more they can raise money. So.
I have a question. Is there an entry fee or something?
It's free.
So, okay, campout's free.
Great.
So Matt, when did the pickleballers make the reservation?
So they made the reservation, let's see, I think it was like 5 or 6 days before. They did it on the 16th.
16th of?
July.
July. And the nice thing is our parks are being used more and more frequently.
Yes.
So one thing I will say, Amanda, is you've got to be able to plan far enough out to make sure that you've got this. Had that been done prior to that, the 16th, I think we wouldn't be here. I'm assuming we wouldn't be here. So you do put us in a tough position, but we've got to look out for the quality of life at the park during the period of time that we're trying to accommodate.
For sure, that's why we have to pick the balls, make sure.
Not for discussion, I'm trying to
explain. Sorry.
Yes, fire over.
Yeah, I would like to ask the representative of the pickleball people to come forward.
Got you, Bob.
Sorry.
Yes.
You got to come all the way forward. On your event, I read somewhere you're probably going to have 100 people or so. Is that correct? Or?
Well, we probably will be 100. We had 75 the last time, about 75 each day.
Okay, so it'll be 75 on one day and in a different group of 75 on the next day? Or?
Well, some people play both days, some don't.
So either day, about 75.
You have men's and women's doubles on Saturday and mixed on Sundays.
Right. Because most everybody, the 75, you're starting about 8 o'clock, assuming.
Yes.
And you go to about 4 or so. So from 4 o'clock on, your folks are not
gone.
Yeah, okay. Do most everybody that comes at 8 o'clock stay to the 4 o'clock time frame?
Some people get,
sure. So
lead,
the 75 could dwindle down to maybe an average of 50 or 40.
Yeah,
okay.
They can stay. We don't run them off, but
right.
So we don't have any control over them.
Correct. But I just kind of get a sense of your usage of the park.
Right.
So
I don't think that usage of the park is, from our perspective, the issue is parking, and the biggest issue will be on Sunday morning. Because they're still there, so we've negotiated some help in being sure that there's a place for these people that they arrive. They'll start arriving at 7:30 for that, and most of them end up coming right away, even though some won't start playing until 10 or 11, but they seem to show up. So.
Okay, thank you.
But that is not really the peak. Remember, the issue is not the average number of people there. It's who's there at the peak time that you need parking and you need facilities and so forth.
Just a question, Bob. Have you seen the map that we were given by
Matt? Yeah, I have.
So you're okay with, from your perspective, the way the parking lot split up? You think that's enough? You're okay with that? Not to put you on the spot.
You asked me to get up here because I've been involved in pickleball since the first ball was thrown here. I didn't come to discuss this. We actually have a couple of other ladies that are running the tournament. They negotiated this and worked with Amanda for this.
Well that kind of answers my question.
They've agreed that it was a mutual that
Amanda's supposed to help us deal with the neighbors and park on the street, because we would definitely use more of the parking than Mark if we were going to use the parking lot. We had the last tournament, the parking lot was full. So, but we will obviously have more people on the street.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Bob.
To run.
Thank you. Ha, ha, ha.
So the mosquito.
Well, I personally, I think it needs a decision tonight, I would say. I don't think you want to put it off till next month, the next meeting. Knowing that you allow 300, and that's a recommendation from staff, we could try it out and see if it works commingling the two groups. It does have some risk, obviously, sanitation and parking are two of the risks, but it, not what you want, but maybe you get through 2019 and rebuild this thing.
It would be really hard for us to support that. Can we go to a 1,000 number? We had 2,000 before. This is really half what we've done successfully, beautifully. We can totally do this. We've worked with them. We came up with a plan together. We came up with a parking plan together. We're here to support pickleball. They're going to have a raffle in the middle of our event. They've got all these raffle prizes planned so they can raise the $10,000 that they still need. We're here together to make a partnership work where the rest of our town doesn't have all the means maybe that we need to make all those things work. But this event helps everybody. So if we could just maybe in the middle a little bit.
Thank you. Again. I still have to go by the staff recommendation. I don't know that 1,000 is greater than three times as much. And if there is a concern with 300, I don't think there's any way that I could see it going to 1,000. Other comments?
The only comment I'll add is, as an individual also does very large functions, 2,000 people is a lot of people, but it's not a lot of people. 1,000 people is half of that, obviously. But given my experience with the Summer Jam concerts, while I'm disappointed how existing the board in because of your timing, I don't think your number is that unrealistic if you have enough bathrooms and garbage facilities to accommodate that. And that's all.
Brian, because you have that experience, how many people did you have the last Summer Jam here?
2,000.
So you could do 2,000 of this location.
Well, but again, that's what you might want to consider, though, is they're camping. They're not sitting in lawn chairs watching a concert. And you're going to take up per person a lot more space than you would, especially if you have to be 100 feet away from home. So just keep that in mind.
So, no, I appreciate that, Mike. I understand what you're saying. I think, for me, the biggest problem is parking. That's really the biggest problem for me that I have. And being fair to pickleballers who snuck in ahead of you, not by intentionally, because it was it just happened to be that way. But I would be willing to look at a compromise and move that number up a bit. I'm knowing that we had 2,000 people there for Summer Jam, and I would be in favor of moving that number up a bit. I don't think I would ever get to 1,000, but I would be in favor of moving that number.
And mostly they don't spend the night. Most people come in.
Hold on. Right now, board's discussion.
You're done.
I know the passion.
I know you can't.
Had you considered this location?
Which
means
the community center. No, I don't think we've considered this location at all. We've got the construction with the pool and kind of all the other things around. Might not be the best choice this year. That's why we were thinking Slipher Park, because it's just. And you know, another thing to think about with the school and the parking that's there, I mean, the school playground area too. I mean, it's possibly with Amanda's poll that, you know, maybe she can get some of the playground area as well. And again, your parking situation, I think, is going to be resolved, especially if she can figure some kind of deal out. Again, the town doesn't own that park. She'd have to go through the county. A plus for her is all of the conditions we have right now, it's a county park. So none of those would basically apply to her.
So I still go back to this location.
So this location, staff would make that recommendation. Maybe once everything is finished, we did make that recommendation. Right now, with as much construction as is going on here, we probably want to limit that.
Okay.
Excellent.
If there's no other discussion, do I hear a motion?
I'm not ready to make a motion at the moment. Kevin mentioned he thinks that he might be able to support an increase of some sort. You have a some sort of money?
600. Only because you asked.
Well,
that's only because that was pretty spontaneous. But I've been accused of being spontaneous. So.
That's a question, Mac. If it went to 600, what changes in the requirements?
At this point, I would still put all of the requirements in place, but do keep in mind she only asked for 500 under contract.
Oh, so well, then 500.
600 is more than what she asked for. So I would keep all the same conditions in place. The line of demarcation, if you will still be the same. So whether she can fit them all in there or not, I don't know. That was just my best guess on, okay, if you're going to squeeze them all in and be 100 feet away, that would be about right.
Well,
so
I would, if it went to 500, I would think you might want to add one more porta potty.
Yeah, porta potty.
Yeah, porta potties for sure. But
I mean, because you got three in there now, you might want to add one.
Actually, you might want to double those. I have no experience with that.
Yeah, based on
I defer to the gentleman at the end.
We go with six total.
Yeah. There's actually formulas that the porta potty companies have as far as the number of people, the duration of their, and three is not enough. Their number is excessive. I think at least six though is probably more realistic.
So am I hearing sort of the consensus of six and six? And all, well, and all the other conditions?
Five. She applied for five. I'm not going to increase. I mean, I missed that.
Okay.
I heard 1,000, and I was trying to.
Five with six.
500 with six would get back to the original. It's not up to me. The president's right here, and he's spoken, so I wouldn't. I think that.
I would just also like to mention that there's also before the board a request to waive the fee.
My comment was, we change the number is five with six porta potties and all the other conditions.
Gotcha.
No, go ahead, because I've lost my train of thought.
One of the conditions that you had put forth, and I think was utilized by MAC at the community center, was the advertising. I think you gave free advertising in your newspaper for the year.
We did do that before.
And is that part of the bargain on this one?
Happy to help you guys with whatever you need. I mean, of course we do it anyway. You know, it's like whatever's happening in the town is news to us, and so we're happy to share that.
It's just not part of the conditions on this particular rental. It should be.
Brian,
it's not. If you're putting that in there, it's not one of the conditions.
You could change it, put that in there.
If the board wishes to put that in there.
But of course, we're always happy.
I think part of that was because I don't believe that there was a fee charged us. It was kind of an in-kind compensation.
That's right. And that's the same thing as this one.
Okay, I just. Right.
Oh, yeah, I can say that Delta Time always advertises the Summer Jam concert. It does a free full page article on it, and that is a joint venture between the town and the Lions Club. So they are very supportive.
And I just one thing, I mean, I would just say my real concern is parking. That responsibility is going to fall on you to make sure that the neighbors aren't, you know, that they can get into their driveways and that they have places to park their vehicles, but also that the pickleballers, when they show up on Sunday mornings, that's going to be a big monitor thing that would fall hit. That's the biggest responsibility that I see.
That is our biggest challenge.
Okay.
We have a
plan. I'm done.
Okay, so the motion should be crafted properly. If somebody would like to make that, we've got to try to cover
it. Go ahead, Bob.
I think that the consensus was 500. Six porta potties and all the other conditions laid out in the staff.
With the addition of advertising.
What about the fee?
And that part of the
it's not part of the conditions right now. If you so.
Well, since she's asking for it, are we approving that?
We're approving the waiver of the fee.
Okay, good.
And Amanda's going to take care of some advertising.
Okay.
Good faith, right?
Can I ask to borrow some tones?
We could discuss it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Is that clear on the motion?
Five?
Six
body, waiver the fee in exchange for free advertising. All other conditions remain the same.
I hope this works for you.
Okay.
And Mac, I hope it works for you also. Thank you.
Thank you
for your time and energy in this. Appreciate it.
And thank you, Board, for taking the time to work.
Thank you,
good
gentlemen, job. For all you're doing.
Thank you, Amanda, for what you do for the community.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Director's report, standing committee's finance.
Yes, we had a finance committee meeting this afternoon. I think there's probably just two items that really were discussed in any great depth. We've discussed the audit for next year and rotating the auditors out, maintaining the same firm, but looking at some new eyes to look at our finances. We discussed a little bit about well number eight, and also having staff is going to be preparing a reimbursement resolution with regard to plant one and plant two. That may be upcoming and sold. We didn't discuss that.
So we'll discuss putting it up to the next meeting.
Thank you, Director.
Discuss what we did.
Internal Operations Committee.
Yes, we also had an Internal Operations Committee. We talked about the policy on the electronic message board and the issues with getting that thing started. And it's, close to resolution. There's a new state OSHA requirement with regard to workers when air quality reaches 151 parts per million or whatever. And so staff has received the N95 masks and will be doing monitoring on the air quality. So if we have to either pull people out of the field or put them in N95 masks, we'll do that. And we also discussed the new California water shutoff law, which becomes effective in February. Looked at the law, and staff is going to be looking at preparing a policy as to how we deal with water shutoffs for people for non-payment.
Thank you, Director Lee. Item IC, Water Wastewater Committee, Director Pease. Vice President Pease.
No problem. We discussed the final payment for a water treatment plant, which was on our agenda. We approved that. We discussed the procedure to acquire a sanitary sewer at the Harbor Bay. We approved that. We discussed the well number eight update. There's about three, maybe four locations that staff's looking at right now. They're talking to property owners to see if there's a willingness to participate with us, and they hope within the next 60 to 90 days to come back with a recommendation for a location of well number eight. We talked about the NPDES permit, and we did that this evening. There's the diffuser, which is taking our water and putting it back into the river. There's a federal report that needs to be filled out, and we discussed that, the fee to that, and probably be about $27,000. It's gonna come to the board for approval. I questioned quite a bit about the price, but it looks like the price is gonna be the price, so that'll come back to us. It gave us a master plan update for denitrification. We asked staff to bring to us a couple scenarios, because we're at the point we have to make a final decision, and the scenarios would be doing a good repair and denitrification facility at plant one versus taking and moving everything over to plant two and the ramification of that, but mostly the cost impacts of doing that. So hopefully that will come back to us at our next meeting. They're going to try and get that information to the board members prior so they have time to think through it. And then there's going to need to be a geotech report for the wastewater plant for the ability to construct the denitrification cement boxes, if you will.
Very good, thank you. And any other reportable items? Moving on
to the Jay General Manager's report.
Yes, not numbered on the report, but I would like to, at this time, introduce to the board our project manager, Mike Uraka. He is a retired general manager of Diablo Water, and he's been instrumental in working with our engineers and our operators and staff here to keep things on task at projects, look at creative new ideas, and bring his wealth of experience. And maybe you have a couple words to say to the board.
So I just thank you very much for the opportunity to help Mike and staff and all of you doing what really the tasks that Mike has assigned to me to take off of his plate were the things that I enjoyed doing the most when I was a general manager. So this is a win-win for me and hopefully the town as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Welcome, Mike.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. Next report is you asked me to bring you a report on the bot dots, and
guess what?
We've all seen it out there. It's not from any feedback that Discovery Bay has provided to Caltrans. This was something that there was going to be a meeting with Caltrans. It got canceled, and a few weeks later, that's what appeared. Came from high above. I will say that I believe that Assemblyman Frazier didn't believe the bot dots were effective, and it was really his pressure on Caltrans to get this done and do something that would be effective, because the bot dots were not working. So we handed to him for that. We had to give him some absolute credit for that. I don't know if he was actually expecting this plan or not. I haven't had a discussion with him, but that's the story on the bot dots.
So if I can inject, I've had a couple of comments, and I heard it here again tonight, that it says the yellow ones are probably not necessary. So that is feedback that I've received from multiple sources, that the whites, if the white doesn't get them, the yellow ones aren't going to stop them.
I think time will bear out what's going to work and not work.
And I think we'll know after the weekend, because isn't this the big
cat poker run starts tomorrow.
And we'll see how many are straight down.
Well, I do have to tell you, I met with Glenn Hoffman, who's in charge of that event, and we put notice has been put out to the people trailing the boats in to probably come down Newport, then Clipper Drive, and make the left that way. We'll avoid any paint transfer on their boats. The next item is you asked for an update on the license plate readers, and I do have an update for you on that. The license plate readers have been purchased. They're in the process of being programmed. The issue is everything's ready to go, except there's a stall with Caltrans. Caltrans, again, is kind of the bureaucracy there, and what they're asking for is load-bearing specs and wind shear specs on if the cameras are put on their pole, if you will. And that's probably about $45,000 to do that. There's no one qualified at the county to do it. They have to go outside. So they're in the process of trying to find a bargain to get this done because it's way out of budget. And there's some ideas that are being floated by Borbley. Lieutenant Captain now Borbley is on this. And he's hoping October. So I really anticipate this. I think October 2020 is a reasonable period. He didn't say which October.
Any chance Assemblyman Frazier might be able to expedite some of this, like that?
Oh my God! Yep. Imagine what it would look like. Big yellow cones coming out of the pole.
Lieutenant Captain Borbley and I did discuss that, and we're kind of waiting. We only want to pull that card once. Right, so it's up the sleeve right now.
Are there any license plate readers on any pole throughout the entire state of California that Caltrans owns?
I do not have the answer to that
question. I would guess and say that yes, there are. And so we don't have to go through the process because it's already been proved in Southern California.
I'll be happy to pass that on to Captain Borbley.
Yeah, I think there's got to be one somewhere. We're not the only place in all of Caltrans in the state of California that's asked to use their pole.
Yes, and the license plate readers have been his chagrin, and I feel for him because the electronic message board has been mine. And the electronic message board has a big welcome on it, all lit, beautiful, but that's the default message. And right now we're having some delays in getting the actual service up and running through, I guess it's a Verizon, is it? Yeah, through Verizon. We've had calls in today. We didn't get any calls returned back, at least before the committee meetings that I've been to. So we'll continue to press along and hopefully have this thing up as soon as possible.
Have we thought about going to Comcast? I know it's hard to change in the middle of the stream, but from an HOA standpoint, we had a lot of issues with Verizon, and we've changed, and the issues are gone.
I think we're open to any plan Bs if plan A fails. I think the reason why we're looking at Verizon is because it's kind of a cellular communication that takes place as opposed to, you know, optics or something like that, cable. But we'll explore every option until we get this thing up and running.
We must know somebody who knows somebody in Verizon.
We know somebody, we just got to get them a return phone calls.
Okay. So expect this week, maybe? Next week? I know it's an expect.
Yeah, yes.
No further.
Expect whatever you like.
Something will
and happen. If you don't get them working, Photoshop, the people that know Photoshop will be putting all sorts of signs up.
Yes, they've been very helpful.
They've already got the picture of the blank sign, so they're still going to continue to put up Photoshop, no matter what the sign's working or not. Because
thank
it's
you.
So cute.
Thank you. Correspondence received. We received one from Byron Municipal Advisory Council. Any future agenda items? If not, we'll adjourn the meeting.